الناس جامونا تيرا وانا شادي جامونا تيرا جايا راتما دافا Punjabi Hari Jaya Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Prabhupada, 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 Jaya 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 Prabhupada, Prem Sikaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Svidvaita Gadadhar Shwasi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Shri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Govita Shama Kunda Radha Kati Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Navadip Dham Ki Jai Gang Shmuna Tulasi Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Ananda Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Gopremanandi All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvata Deva Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatta Desha Tarane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasri Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 66, Verse 7. Sri Sukha Uvacha.
Sri Sukha Uvacha.
Katanam tat upakanya. Pondrak asalpa medasa. Ugrasen adaya sabhya. Uchaka jaha sustada. Sri Sukha Uvacha. Sukadeva Goswami said, Katanam, boasting, tat, that, upakarnya, hearing, Paundrakasya. Paundraka. Alpa. Small. Medasa. Whose intelligence? Ugrasena Adayaha. Headed by King Ugrasena. Sabya, members of the assembly, Uchakai, loudly, Jahasu, laughed, tada. Then, translation, Sukadeva Goswami said, King Ugrasena and the other members of the assembly laughed loudly when they heard this vain boasting of unintelligent Paundraka. The personality of Godhead, after enjoying the jokes of that assembly, told the messenger to relay a message to his master. You fool, I will indeed let loose the weapons you boast of in this way. Purport, the Sanskrit word utsrakshe means I will hurl, throw, let loose, abandon, etc. Foolish Paundraka demanded that Lord Krishna give up his powerful weapons such as the disc and the club. And here the Lord replies, Utsrakshe muda chinnani. Yes, fool, I will indeed let loose these weapons when we meet on the battlefield. In Krishna's Supreme Personality of Godhead, Srila Prabhupada nicely describes this scene as follows. When all the members of the royal assembly, including King Ugrasena, heard this message sent by Paundraka, they laughed very loudly for a considerable time. After enjoying the loud laughter of all the members of the assembly, Krishna replied to the messenger as follows, O messenger of Paundraka, you may carry my message to your master. He is a foolish rascal. I directly call him a rascal and I refuse to follow his instructions. I shall never give up the symbols of Vasudeva, especially my disc. I shall use this disc to kill not only King Paundraka, but all his followers also. I shall destroy this Paundraka and his foolish associates, who merely constitute a society of cheaters and the cheated. The personality of Godhead, for enjoying the jokes of the assembly, told the messenger to reel a message to his master, you fool, I will indeed let loose the weapons you boast of in this way. So, in the previous verses there, through the messenger, Paundraka had demanded that you give up the weapons of Vasudev, because Paundraka himself was Vasudev. Of course, the word can mean give up, give to somebody else, etc. And that's the sense that Paundraka used. In reply, Krishna says, yes, I will give them up in another sense. I will shoot them at you. Huh? I will release them. I will release my Sudarshan Chakra and the battle and kill you. So in other words, he uses more or less a pun, repeating the words of Paundraka in another way. So just as the very words in the message had another meaning, as Vishnu Chakravarti explains, when Paundraka boasts that the weapons of the Lord actually belong to him, so you give them up. So here also the other words of Paundraka, when he says you give up your weapon, here Krishna gives that another meaning. Yes, I will release them and I will kill you with them. This whole scene is one of not fear, which was the intention of Paundraka, to instill fear in Krishna and demand from him his weapons. Rather, it created the opposite, laughter. Yeah? So this verse here says, they laughed very loudly. The whole assembly laughed very loudly when they heard this message.
This was, we can say, natural. One, because it was so ridiculous. Someone imitating the Supreme Lord, it is impossible to do. So therefore, it will be very comical when someone tries to do that, because whatever he does, he can never compare with the Supreme Lord. So later we see how on the battlefield, Ponduraka had his second set of arms and his weapons, which were just material things that he had produced, like an actor would have. Nothing compared to the real weapons and the forearms of the Supreme Lord. So, in other words, whatever he tries to do is something that can be laughed at. Very, very comical. Because, and the other reason of the laughter is that he was quite serious in saying, okay, these belong to me, and give up your position, surrender to me, etc. He was very serious. But at the same time, for the Yadus who accepted Krishna as Supreme Lord, this was ridiculous. How could it be? No one can take the place of the Supreme Lord. So therefore, they laughed in this way. Another laughter is laughter in mockery, or sarcasm, or whatever. We may laugh at a person to indicate or criticize the person. So a slight hint of that is also there, because here it talks about how Ponduraka was upamedasa, very unintelligent. He had very little intelligence. In other words, he was a fool. And that was manifested by his words and his demand to the Supreme Lord. This, in one sense, an aparad, to offend the Lord by trying to take his place and demanding from the Lord that he surrender. Therefore, they laughed in mockery as well. That this is completely improper, not the proper thing to do at all, and therefore you're a great fool and an offender. So this was this response was spontaneous. Immediately after the messenger had read out the message, then everybody laughed, just because of the their own position and understanding of Krishna and the position of Ponduraka. They understood his foolishness. So everybody spontaneously laughed very loudly. And normally, of course, to laugh loudly is not very polite. Nevertheless, they could not contain themselves and they laughed very loudly, it is said here. We see when, Duryodhana was in the palace and he was mistaking the water for the land and the land for the water, etc. Then the queens, they were giggling and laughing. So he got very offended by that. So often laughter will create hatred or whatever, or anger in the person who hears it. Fortunately, Ponduraka was not personally present. Only his messenger was there. But they could not help but laugh in this case, which would normally be impolite or whatever. But they could not contain themselves because of the situation and the ridiculous demand that Ponduraka had made. So the Lord spoke, and then he just cleverly spoke to reply and in one sense agree with Ponduraka. Yes, I will give up the weapons. I will release them. I will release them, and then I will kill you with them. Instead of surrendering to Ponduraka, the opposite. He challenged him. So the nature of the Lord is he has no fear. And this is natural to the Lord because he is supreme. He has all power and strength. He has all shaktis. He has all knowledge. No one can defeat him. So what is the question of fear of anyone? So when an enemy makes a demand like this, then the Lord is fearless. But we see in some cases, Krishna seems to act in another way. For instance, when Dwarka was attacked, Mathura was attacked, then he fled away as if in fear. This was encouraging to the enemy, but then ultimately Krishna was not afraid, and he played many tricks when he did this. So though the Lord is fearless, still sometimes he may act in an opposite way, which may cause confusion for some people. This reaches its an extreme situation in Vrindavan. So we see here in the Damodar pastime that Krishna is afraid of Mother Yasoda. She's not even an enemy, and she's a woman. She's not a demon, you know, with lots of weapons or anything. She's just a mother with a stick, and Krishna becomes afraid of her. So it's explained that it is impossible that Krishna can be afraid of anything, because Supreme Lord is—he's supreme. He has all powers, so it's impossible. And rather the opposite, he creates fear in everybody else. Through the law of karma, he makes everybody in the world suffer. He punishes everybody. So how can the Lord be afraid of a stick from Mother Yasoda? Yet he was afraid. So was it imitation fear? No, it was not imitation. It was just imitation fear. Then we can say that he's just pretending to be afraid, and he's pretending to do this for Mother Yasoda, but actually he's different. Then that would also be not proper to be make an imitation act, like an actor on a stage for Mother Yasoda. And of course, Mother Yasoda is not acting at all, but then Krishna's acting. Then that would not be proper. So actually, he was afraid. He identified completely as a small child, son of Mother Yasoda. And as children, other normal children are, when the mother threatens them, they become afraid. So Krishna had the same response, and he was completely afraid of Mother Yasoda, and he tried to run away, and he was crying, and etc. So this was not a false show at all. It was actual fear that Krishna had. Of course, we can say in one sense his tears were a little false, in one sense, that he showed tears just to get Mother Yasoda's sympathy. But nevertheless, he had a fear of the stick of Mother Yasoda as a small child would. So this happens when in the form of Krishna as a small child in Vrindavan. He assumes a very opposite nature, and instead of being the Supreme Lord who is fearless and defeats everyone, he appears to be exactly the opposite, and he's afraid of Mother Yasoda. However, we see with the demons in Vrindavan opposite, Krishna kills them very easily. With the devotees, he has the opposite tendency, and particularly with his parents. So in Vatsalya Rasa, Krishna is inferior and the parents are superior. So it's we can say an unbalanced relationship, where the parents are above Krishna and they have more power, and Krishna is powerless. That itself creates a certain type of rasa, which we call Vatsalya, where the parents feel they have to protect Krishna because he is powerless. And it's very intense. In fact, in terms of intensity, Vatsalya Rasa is next to Madhurya Rasa. In that role then, Krishna is bound to feel fearful, etc. Because the parents are superior. In Sakya Rasa, they're equal. boys are equal with Krishna, more or less. Some a little bit more superior, like Balaram, a little superior, or a little younger, but more or less equal. Yeah? So that type of relationship is not there so much. No, we don't see it. They play as friends only. But with elders, then Krishna shows that fear in some cases. Though that is there, at the same time, because he is the Supreme Lord, ultimately nothing can harm him. But for rasa, in relation to the devotees, to create great bliss, then he becomes fearful or whatever, as in the case of Damodar pastime. So, in any case, by nature, of course, Krishna is Supreme Lord, and that he shows more distinctly in Dwarka and in these incidents like this, where there are challenges to Krishna and his position by the demons. And then Krishna naturally assumes his position as the Supreme Lord and exhibits all of his powers, and he identifies himself as Supreme Lord, being all-powerful. And the people, the Yadus, accept that. So he doesn't have to hide it in any way or repress it. So it's natural for him to manifest his powers in Dwarka, because there the people admire those powers. So just as he hides his powers or covers his powers in Vrindavan, so in Dwarka they naturally manifest. And in doing so, the people feel their particular rasa. The Yadus appreciate Krishna assuming that supreme position and manifesting his powers. And their dasya rasa becomes quite prominent because of that. They experience bliss because of the relationship where Krishna is the all-powerful master. So, according to the situation, then Krishna may show his powers or hide his powers or whatever. So here he is showing his powers, and he takes up the challenge of Pondraka. Added to that, of course, we have another factor that is virya, prowess. This becomes a secondary rasa. There's different types of this rasa. It's called usaha rasa. This is the yuddha vira section. Display of courage in battle. Sometimes the enthusiasm is shown to display dharma, dharma vira, one who's very enthusiastic to show his dharmic personality or something like that. I think the example given there is when Krishna was born, then Nanda Maharaj was very enthusiastic to give gifts to everybody. So he is showing his dharmic propensity there. That's another type of the same rasa, but related to dharma. Here Krishna manifests this fighting enthusiasm, which is natural to Kshatriya, especially. And, of course, it naturally manifests when Krishna shows himself as Supreme Lord and as the ruler here in Dwarka. And when he does this, then, and he makes this statement and he challenges without fear Pondraka, then all of the Yadus are very blissful. They derive their rasa from this. His display of virya makes them feel very affectionate for Krishna. Therefore, in this incident, we'll find a display of Krishna's powers, which not only satisfies Krishna, but also satisfies the devotees. Here, the devotees are enlivened by Krishna showing his powers, But of course, through this, they understand their own position as his servant. And also, they relish his virya in relation to Pondraka. That he is, he challenges Pondraka to a duel. So this increases their admiration because of this display of virya. Krishna himself, of course, also experiences rasa with the yadus, but he also has a rasa with Pondraka. But it is not a real rasa in the sense, because real rasas are based on affection. There's a display of virya when Nrisimhadev kills Ranikasipu and tears him apart, and he's very angry. But it's not a real bhakti rasa because it's not based on affection. Here also, in relation to Pondraka, who's a demon, it's not the real rasa because it's not based upon affection. So it's like an upa rasa or something like that, secondary aspect of rasa. But it is, for Krishna, it is also a feeling for the directed towards the demon, or because of the demon, we can say. So the demon is the cause of him displaying that virya rasa. But it is explained, the real virya rasa is in relation with devotees. So an example is given in how that can be, how you can fight with a devotee and display the virya. That sounds strange. But then it's explained that in Vrindavan, Krishna fights for the cowherd boys, and it's based upon affection. So that virya rasa is a real virya rasa, based upon sakya rasa. So sakya rasa is the main rasa, virya is the secondary rasa, when Krishna or Balaram or Sudama, they fight together, and they display their courage and whatever like that. So it's based upon the primary rasa. So that's not the case here. In displaying this rasa with Pondraka, it is a little different. Similarly with Kamsa, Krishna fighting and killing Kamsa again, not a direct a primary rasa, or not even a real secondary rasa, because it's with the demon. And many are the cases we also see. Nevertheless, it is an aspect of rasa. And through that, the devotees also get some sort of rasa by the display of virya of the Supreme Lord towards the demon. Then the devotees also get a positive experience, and nourishes their rasa. In other words, when Krishna fights with the demon and displays his virya rasa, then the devotees, they experience a rasa with the Lord, and they appreciate his virya rasa, and that increases their affection for the Lord. In this way, we have a variety of rasas expressed here, some with the devotees, some with the demon, Pondraka here, and that mixes together. And all of this creates a variety within their relationship. And that variety in the relationship creates bliss. Though demons are not favorable to the Lord and they have to be annihilated, these are opportunities for the Lord to increase rasa with the devotees, because in dealing with the demons, etc., then the devotees develop their rasa with the Lord more, and they develop more affection and bliss in relation to the Lord, because it reveals the Lord's wonderful qualities. Therefore, we can appreciate all of these different incidents with the Supreme Lord and the demons, and because they do increase the rasa between the Lord and the devotees.
You must hear the word katthanam, boasting of, is used.
Yeah.
So everybody knows that Pondraka was only boasting of, and he was not as powerful as Bharati Krishna's what is the need of that?
Of course, katanam, or this boasting, is also a symptom within virya rasa itself. When you're fighting with a person and you challenge him and you say, oh, you're a weak person, I'm very strong, and you threaten him and you wave your hands, etc., like this, and you utter words of scorn and criticize the other person. This is all part of Katanam, one symptom of Virya Rasa, or the hero or whatever like that, when he's displaying his qualities like that. So it's typical in for Kshatriyas especially. You will see Bhima will boast or whatever like this. And he'll criticize the enemy like this. So not only the enemies do this, even the devotees will do this when they're fighting with the demons. They will also boast or whatever. In this case, of course, it is completely misplaced because, and it's offensive because it is directed towards the Supreme Lord. Or even if it's against devotees, it's offensive. So obviously, not the proper thing to do. But because he's a demon, and he doesn't see the Lord as the Lord or the devotees as anyone as special, then it's permissible for him from his point of view. Though from the devotees' point of view, it is offensive.
Maharaj, in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami gives rasavas. He gives examples. So how are there scriptural examples of perfect devotees showing rasavas? How can they?
Yeah, Rasa Bas. Well, there are usually you'll see the examples of Rasa Bas given. Some are real Rasa Bas, and there's Rasa Bas with exceptional cases within them, which may be done by devotees or whatever. Therefore, it's not real Rasa Bas. It looks like Rasa Bas, but it's an exceptional case. So in that case, the devotees are given. Rasa Bas, which is real, he gives examples of, let's say, when an impersonalist expresses some sort of idea of rasa, then it's imperfect because of the or a poet expresses rasa. It's not quite proper because within, like, Shanta Rasa, he'll express Madhurya Rasa or something like that. So that's a rasa bas. So for ignorant people, impersonalists or others, poets or whatever, they may express themselves out of enthusiasm, but actually it's not proper. So that's the real rasa bas where it takes place. And I think it was Ramananda who would filter all the poetry that came to Lord Chaitanya because he was looking for rasa bas. I think it's not all the poets are perfect and they would, you know, not represent things properly.
So pure devotee can never really show rasa.
No. So it may look like rasa bas, but then there's exceptional cases where it's permitted.
Find this word. The person sees the other, it's a funny situation or something, and reads a joke and he laughs. But also laughing is used for criticizing others also.
Yeah.
But if this is the opposite, crying when you lose something, you cry. Near person. How can we compare this spiritual world? Like you said that somebody laughs at me, I may think he's criticizing me. What are the signs of laughing and crying? Is it true that?
Well, that's another rasa, hasya. Secondary rasa, hasya rasa, comedy, which is maybe we could say in the material world we have the rasas, so that's also one of the rasas in drama. We have comedies and tragedies. Tragedies make you cry, and comedies make you laugh. So there's laughter, which is, you know, appreciated as an aspect of the human being. So therefore, we have dramas which are comedies, and they are present comical characters, and they make us laugh also. So in the spiritual world also, we have these two aspects. We have the crying aspect, and we have the laughing aspect as well. You have the hasya rasa, and we have the karuna rasa, which is very pitiful. But the difference is that in the spiritual world, these are secondary rasas based upon the primary rasas of love. In the material world, they can be completely separate and not based upon love at all. So therefore, they're imperfect in the material world. And the hasya may also be filled with hatred or whatever like this, whereas in the spiritual world isn't. And the crying is actually a feeling of pain. In the spiritual world, the crying is sometimes a symptom of joy or a pain and separation, which is also part of prema itself, part of bliss. So the appearance is similar, but it's actually quite different when Krishna and the devotees manifest these symptoms.
Mentally retarded or mentally not sound people, they keep laughing. They don't have any they stand in one zone and we don't even...
Yeah, of course. We can say that in the material world, a person who is completely, we can not so much sentient or conscious of his surroundings, will be very happy and may laugh at anything. But that is, we can say, is a defect because he's not fully conscious. So in the spiritual world, the laughter is based upon a particular situation, which creates a ridiculousness or whatever. And it's a part of the rasa itself, of an affectionate rasa. In the material world, when a fool laughs, then it's out of ignorance. Well, yeah, that is laughter in the sense of criticism or mockery, which is something in the material world. Laughter to indicate the foolishness of another person or whatever. So this is, we can say, part of material consciousness based upon identification with bodies and... you know, lust, anger, greed, etc. So the comedy of the material world in some sense is related to material identity. But in the spiritual world, not so. So it's all based upon that affectionate relationship. So there's none of the negative qualities of the laughter in the material world. How should a devotee respond when he is tormented by material position of another devotee, which means what, he's envious of another's? Tormented by material position of another devotee. Why we should be tormented by someone's material position? If the material position is material, then for us, a devotee, it should be useless anyway. So why we should be tormented by it? So envy may give rise to that. And envy itself, again, is another material sentiment, that we have material attachments and we see somebody else is getting more enjoyment, so we want that enjoyment, so therefore we hate the devotee or the other person because he has more enjoyment, material enjoyment than I do. So that's, again, fully material.
What is the difference between Pratikulyasya
and Phalguvairagya? Oh, yeah. To reject what is unfavorable for the advancement of bhakti. So anything which is unfavorable, which does not help us advance and develop more attraction for Krishna, we can reject that naturally. Any obstacle to bhakti, we reject. Phagu vairagya means to give up anything, activity or object, that can be useful in worshipping the Lord. So we won't touch flowers because they have a fragrance and this maya, whatever. But we can offer flowers to the Lord. So that Phagu Vairagya said we're not going to look at flowers anymore because there's sense gratification. Use them for the Lord, fine, no problem. So Phagu Vairagya means we just give up things because we don't see how we can connect them at all to the Supreme Lord. That is Phagu Vairagya.
And Pratikulyasya Vivarjana, wouldn't it be Nityachari such as Krishna Karnas Bhagavad Gita that he is attracted to that object, but he rejects because it is unfavorable?
No, anything unfavorable for bhakti we avoid. For instance, we avoid asatsanga. So, how we can criticize avoiding asatsanga? It damages bhakti, so therefore we must avoid it. This other mityachara means that though we may renounce externally, internally we're enjoying an object. That's all that means. So here when we talk about pratikulasya varjana, rejecting what is unfavorable, we're not pretending anything or, you know, rejecting on one level but enjoying on the other level. Though we say that you don't preach to the faithless person, that's a general principle, at least we let them hear the holy name. That much we should do. That's a general principle. Then we have cases of Nityananda or others who may even preach to the unfaithful persons. So by their great Shakti, they're able to accomplish something even in that case. Huh? So there are exceptional cases as well. Yeah.
Now in this one, we always preach the preacher's person. Most of the people who preach.
Huh? What's that?
Now in this one,
yeah.
We always preach the preacher's person.
Well, generally, we avoid those persons who are hostile.
But still, they have prashad.
We can give, yeah, we can give prashad and we can let them hear the holy name. We should not tell them, oh, Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead, offer flowers to the Lord. If they hate the Lord, how we can do that? But we can let them hear the holy name, give them prashadam. That's how we preach to them.
General understanding on the Vidya Rasa, with regard to the Vidya Rasa, the general understanding is only when there is a true enmity between one another, the real Rasa can manifest. On the contrary, we see here Bharati, the true rasa
Maharaj
the devotees themselves are the good
parts. What is that?
The true Vidya Rasa is manifested when there is enmity towards one another, generally.
Well, in the material world. Yeah.
But here the Maharaj says that it is all the true Vidya Rasa manifest amongst the group of them.
Yeah. Well, not in the material world also. They have wrestling matches and so many things, which is not real enmity. It's just that one team plays against the other, cricket match or whatever, all these things, you know, that. So it's not real enmity, it's a play. So that's what happens in the spiritual world, it's all play. Yeah? And then within that they have their virya.
I don't remember.